Time now for the Seattle Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on your exclusive home for Thunderbirds hockey. 1090 KJR.
The hunt is on for a playoff spot as the T-Birds down to their last 14 games of the regular season. They still hold a playoff spot. We'll talk about that with the coach and the coaches next on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
Now back to the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show, a weekly look inside T-Birds hockey and the WHL. The Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Odette.
Well, it was a mixed bag of results for the T-Birds over the last 4 to 5 games. Some wins, some losses, but in the end, still in that eighth and final playoff spot in the Western Conference, 3 points up on the Kamloops Blazers going into what will be a busy weekend of hockey. Three games in 3 nights for Seattle begins tomorrow night, 7:35 against the Red Deer Rebels. Saturday, the Everett Silvertips are in town for a game. That's a 6 o'clock start. Don't forget a minimum guaranteed prize at the 50-50 raffle of $10,000 courtesy of the Thunderbirds Community Sports Foundation. And the T-Birds will wrap up the weekend on the road with a matinee game down in Portland at 4 o'clock against the Winter Hawks. As we're joined now by the T-Birds head coach, Matt Odette, and our co-host, Andy Ide. And we certainly, again, want to throw our appreciation to the fans. We know that it was an event, a snow event. In some places they call it winter, and let's face it, it was winter, a week of winter here in the Pacific Northwest. And we understand the fans that didn't want to brave those elements to make it out to the game. Safety is always first priority, but the fans that did make it, we certainly appreciate that coming out and taking in the first couple of games of this five-game homestand that continues this weekend. Matt, as I said, kind of a mixed bag. You go to Victoria, get a split this past weekend, a split winning the game against Medicine Hat in overtime, and then the Tuesday game against Tri-City. Certainly a winnable game. Unfortunately, those 2 points get away from you, and you take the loss. It was a chance to build that lead over Kamloops to 5 points in that battle for that final playoff spot, but you got to put it behind you and focus now on this weekend and first up the Red Deer Rebels. But again, trying to find some consistency here. I know there's some injuries you're dealing with. You've got some young players again back to having to eat up some minutes for you, and that's probably affecting all aspects of the game, both 5-on-5, penalty kill, and power play.
Yeah, all that is correct. It's disappointing that we didn't get the 2 points. Every point's critical right now, and a home game, we felt that that was 2 points that we needed to have, and it didn't happen. I thought we played fine, okay, but at this time of year, that's not enough to win games. We didn't do quite enough to win the game. It was an all right effort, but, nothing's going to be handed to us. We have to take it, and we didn't take it against Tri-City, and we move on, and we need to scrape together points this weekend.
There was a good start to that game, I thought. Had a lot of puck possession the first half of the first period. Unfortunately, a lot of those shots were missing the net, and I don't know if guys were trying to be perfect against a pretty good goaltender or just that's the way things were coming off their sticks, and I think it helped lead to that shorthanded goal because I think a shot came off the boards and they were able to get that puck and chip it out and win the race for the power or the shorthanded goal. But getting pucks on net is so critical to your style of play, which is just to pound in the offensive zone, get pucks in deep and win those puck battles and then go to the net.
Yeah, I thought the zone time was great. We had a very high amount of zone time for what we averaged there, and that was good. Not enough attempts at the net. We did out attempt them, Corsi, but we could have had a lot more, just like you mentioned there, not funneling enough to the net. We have to put forth a body of work offensively to get goals. We're not, the quick strike, flash, capitalize on our breakaways and two-on-ones type team. We're still working on that, obviously. But we have to get more pucks in net, more traffic, and give ourselves more opportunities to score. And, like you mentioned on the power play, it was a mistake on our entry there. We tried to go high with it instead of bumping down, and they transitioned, and that's what they do. They're opportunistic. They score on their chances. Sometimes they don't get a lot, but they're of the big nature, and they don't miss them.
And the last two games was a tale of two different third periods. Obviously, in the game against Medicine Hat, a great comeback, down 3-1, really went hard, dictated the pace of play in that third period, put a lot of shots on goal, scored twice, and then got it to overtime and won. Third period against Tri-City, I know the stats say you had 10 shots on goal. Didn't feel like you had that many shots, or at least dangerous opportunities in that third period. Didn't capitalize on the power play. Couldn't find the equalizer to at least get a point out of the game.
Yeah, we needed to make a bigger push there, down a goal. You know, we had some, you know, at least one opportunity on the power play that we didn't get enough going on. But, you know, our body of work throughout the course of the game, you know, didn't put us in as big of a position as the Saturday night game to kind of overwhelm them and get them to their breaking point. We didn't do enough in this game to do that like we did Saturday night. And, you know, we didn't overpower them in the third like we did. For that reason, our body of work for the rest of the game wasn't good enough.
And you talk often about momentum and momentum swings during the game. And I thought Tuesday you had it up 3-1, but they snatched it back. And when they get it back like that, how hard is it to try and get it back? That would be two or three swings in a game. That seems like that's difficult to do. Does it become a struggle when you lose it like that?
Yeah. Momentum's huge. You know, in the second period there, you know, in a blink of an eye, they had three goals. You know, and then it works in our favor, too, when we get rolling there. We had that stretch in the second where we put up a couple goals quickly. You know, with the young kids, it's different than with the pros. They can kind of right the ship quicker and kind of get things back under control. But the kids, their emotions and stuff can kind of get the better of them. And, you know, that's why the momentum swings are as big as they are. But, you know, it's tough. And especially, you know, it's a little bit tougher on the road when you're in the hostile buildings. You know, can get out of hand on you quickly in Everett and in Portland there. So managing momentum is a huge factor in hockey games.
You know, there were five goals combined in that second period Tuesday night. Obviously, they had three, and that gave them the lead. But I think you would probably say that was just too many quality scoring opportunities that, I mean, you're not going to complain about the ones you got on your end, and their goaltender came up with some terrific saves once they got that lead back, or when you had a chance even at 3-1 to make it 4-1. But you would say you gave them too many grade-A chances in your end in that period as well.
Yeah. You know, we didn't give up a ton of chances. I think it was 18-13 for us in that game. But like you mentioned, the quality of chances are big. You know, we talk about when we play Tri-City, it's not the continuous barrage that gets you against these guys. It's the opportunistic plays and the time where they got behind you, or the time where you gave up a big 2-on-1, and that was the case. The big shorthanded breakaway and the 2-on-1 in the second that we gave up were the key goals. You know, so their chances tend to be of the bigger variety, and we have to limit those. Those are the freebie type chances that we're giving away, and you know, we can't give up those chances.
I just bring it up because not only did their goaltender make a couple of spectacular saves, but so did yours, Roddy Ross. I think right before they got that barrage of goals, they had a couple of good looks, and he came up with some good stops. And you'd think or hope that your team could feed off of what he did there in that instance and maybe then prevent some more chances against.
Yeah. You know, that's what we need from our goaltender you know, be there when we need him to, and Roddy's been there to make those big saves. And you know, it's we got to be there to bail him out, also take away those second and third opportunities, and you know, direct some of those chances more to the outside and not let guys get behind us.
And we talked a bit since after the game last night. Your forecheck, especially the last couple of week or so, has been really strong. Maybe even since the trade deadline, you really have a strong forecheck, which leads to possession. What's the key to turning those possessions into more scoring chances?
You know, that's definitely a big part of our identity, is having a strong forecheck, and it does help us create zone time and scoring opportunities. It's a matter of knowing when to attack, knowing when to try to make a play, when to funnel pucks to the net, when to try to wrap around when to try to go low to high to the defenseman. They're all different reads that we have to make. Sometimes we make the right reads, and sometimes we don't. You know, the times we maybe should have cycled or tried to get one to the net, we tried to go to the point with it, and vice versa. So not always the best reads and the best decisions offensively there, and it cost us. And it can be difficult. Tri-City plays a different D zone than an Everett, and you know what might work against one team may not work against another team. So it's you know, we try to prepare the guys the best we can, and from there they got to make the right reads and decisions.
Again, you're listening to the Weekly Coaches Show with head coach Matt Audette ahead of a busy weekend. Three games and three nights for Seattle. It starts Friday night at home against the Red Deer Rebels, 7:35. Tickets available online at seattlethunderbirds.com. Just kind of continue on the theme of the forecheck. One guy, and I think, Andy, you've talked about him and his ability on the forecheck, is Henrik Rybinski. He seems to affect plays, and he's active with his stick, and he created some turnovers. I guess the one question I have about him is, at some point, do you want him to now maybe take more shots or get more pucks on net and start scoring some goals? Is that a role that he can add to his repertoire?
Yeah, and we've been working with him. He's obviously great on the puck and makes a lot of stuff happen. He wins a lot of battles, and he's just a tenacious guy. But he doesn't shoot enough. He doesn't. He's always looking to make a play rather than get more to the net, and that's something that we're working with him with. You know, he needs to shoot more. There's clear shooting opportunities for him that he's passing up to make another play. And, you know, young players, they're obviously learning, and that's something that he has to learn and add to his repertoire.
I mean, I was wondering, was he like that at the, you know, Bantam or Midget level too? Was he more of a scorer at those levels?
No, I think he's always been a guy that's racked up a lot of assists. And I think it's mainly because he does a lot of the dirty work. He's always winning those pucks out of the corners and keeping plays alive, and that's a big reason why he gets a lot of his assists. And he's obviously got a touch and can make plays, but he does a lot of dirty work for his line mates, and that gives him a lot of opportunities for assists. But I think if you shot more, obviously you're increasing your chances to score, and the goal totals would come up.
And players like that, over the years, there's always players where coaches say, I wish they would shoot more. It seems like they're so key on trying to make a play for their teammates, but at times you want them to be a little selfish, right, and take the shot yourself.
Exactly. You know, we say it all the time. You know, when it comes to getting pucks in the net, we're never going to be mad at you. It's never a wrong play to put one on the net. You know, and you're right, the guys want to be unselfish and try to set up their teammates, and sometimes the play is getting the puck on net.
We will take a break. When we come back, former T-Bird head coach Steve Konowalczyk, who's going to be part of the Hockey Challenge coming up on February 23rd, will step in, and we'll have a few minutes with him to talk about that. Then the head coach, Matt Audette, and Andy will rejoin us as well as we continue with the Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This is the Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on 1090 KJR.
Well, every year the T-Birds have the annual Hockey Challenge, which raises money for Ronald McDonald House Charities of Western Washington and Alaska. And it usually brings back a lot of former T-Bird players to participate in the celebrity game that usually ends the day. And that's certainly the case again this year. In fact, they've got, I think, coming back to captain one team, maybe the greatest player in T-Bird's history in Glenn Goodall, and then captaining the other team, maybe, what, the fourth or fifth best coach in T-Bird's history?
I'll take that. I'll take that. That's good.
I think most people would put Steve Konowalczyk on the top of the list because, of course, he led the team into their only championship back in 2017, and he is coming back to participate in that event coming up on the 23rd of February. First, do you know Glenn Goodall? Have you ever met him?
I don't believe I have. Obviously, he was a couple of years ahead of me playing wise, and so I heard about him, and every time we'd come up to Seattle, he was part of what they were, and then on to the other good players I had that I played against him by around 90-91. So I didn't play against him, but definitely know the name and know how great of a junior player he was.
Well, I know that you're busy scouting now for the New York Rangers, but are you sneaking in a couple of skates here and there to get ready to be in shape for this?
I haven't. I have one actually. I put on my schedule. I've got to get on the ice. I haven't touched the ice since since Anaheim last year, so I have to get on in at least a couple times. And because Jason Alice has texted me every freaking day saying he's going to kick my butt out there. So, and he's probably doing push-ups and sit-ups and running mountains out there in Wenatchee and in the gym and skating. So I better get going here.
So Alice is actually, I guess, lobbying to be on the Goodall's team.
Yeah, well, you know what? Probably the highlight of my coaching career besides the championship was beating him all the time in the two-pass games we'd play after practice, and he'd get so mad because he thinks he's some young kid and he should be able to kick us out, me and Odie's butt, because we're these old guys, and he just couldn't cut it. So he's trying to do a little revenge here, and I better get going.
Yeah, I remember a lot of those two passes, and you know, they say you got to, you know, give until it hurts charity wise, but they mean give financially, not hacking and slashing the other team until they hurt. But I'm sure you're looking forward to, you know, battling him a little bit if you're not on the same team.
It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of fun, and you know, I'd love to play with him, but I think it's more fun getting under his skin. And you know, he thinks he's this big strong guy in the gym, and then when you get out in the corner, he usually comes out of the corner without the puck, so I'm looking forward to hopefully playing against him.
Well, it is for a great cause here, again, raising money for Ronald McDonald House Charities of Western Washington, Alaska. I think T-Birds have been doing this for 21 years, have raised millions of dollars for that cause, so I'm sure you're excited to be a part of that history.
Well, I'm very excited. Unfortunately, you know, when you're coaching and you're so busy and there's so much work to do after the game, I've never had a chance to get involved in it too much, and it always looked like so much fun, and everybody on the ice was having so much fun, and, you know, Brendan Witt and some of the guys I do know, Huskeroff, did. It would have been a lot of fun, so I'm looking forward to the opportunity to get out there and not worry about coaching anything and just going out and having a good time and helping out the cause.
You know, so many players now, whether it's in hockey or other sports, they have their own charity foundations. That's something kind of new, I guess. Was there anything big like that when you were playing among the players?
Everybody has a certain degree of charity. Obviously, the bigger stars, they have their own kind of management team that will put on golf or hockey tournaments or nicey bowling. But, yeah, different levels. So there's usually, you know, as a player, you're involved in, if it's not your own charity, team helping teammates out, three, four, five charities a year.
Well, how are you enjoying scouting? As we mentioned, you're scouting out for the New York Rangers. Coming off of your coaching days into scouting, was it an easy transition for you?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's I guess relaxing would be the word. I haven't really been mad at the officials at all this year, which is really nice. They've done a great job this year, but you just don't have that same intensity, right? It's different. You don't go when coaching. You either go away and you're really happy and proud of your guys and you won a game, or you go away and you lost and you're upset and you're trying to get back at it. So it's very intense. And you know, I've enjoyed the step back this year, just to go watch games, evaluate talent. You know, I run into a lot of people I know on the road, which is kind of fun, people you haven't seen for years. So it's been a nice little transition. We'll worry about, you know, plan B here coming up for the next year in a month or two. But for right now, I'll finish out what I'm doing. But it's been fun.
Well, we've seen you around the rink a lot this season. And, you know, the joke among people in the press box is, who is that guy? Because they weren't used to seeing you smiling or as relaxed as you've been around the arena here now that you're just a scout, not a coach. But, you know, it's funny. You look at the roster, and as you watch these games, you can really see how quickly things turn over in the Western Hockey League. Just a few players left from that championship team you coached to the Chanel Cup just 2 years ago.
It happens so quick, and I think that's you know, you wish, you know, in one sense you wish you could keep all your star players forever, but on the other hand, it's so much fun. I think that's what's exciting about junior hockey, is watching these young guys turn over so quickly. And you know, with the Bauer and the Mount, you got some good young guys, and you see Lee and Hammer, the guys I did coach a little bit, really the future of the team. And you know, along with the guys I was fortunate to coach, Wedman and Vulcan are a huge part of the team, but the transition is so quick. And I think that with junior hockey, having that hope every year that you know which guys are coming back good, but which guy is going to take that next step and really surprise you and help your team, is what makes it fun.
Well, again, good to see you, and glad to have you as part of that Ronald McDonald House charity coming up on the 23rd after the game against the Seattle and Portland. Again, raising a lot of money. You'll be captaining one team. Glenn Goodall will be captaining the other team. And you might hear a few chirps from way up in the crowd. Maybe you're in the vicinity of the broadcast booth.
Oh, is that right, Tom? Not as much as when I was coaching, huh?
A little less.
Probably. I heard that on the air once in a while. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, again, glad you have part of that event, and it's always good to see you around the rink, and I'm sure we're going to see you more and more as the season winds down here.
That sounds good. Thanks, Tom.
Time now to bring back in the head coach, Matt Odette, ahead of a busy weekend of hockey. The T-Birds, 3 games in 3 nights. The first two on home ice. Tomorrow night, 7:35. Red Deer, 6:05 Saturday against Everett. Again, that guaranteed minimum $10,000 50-50 raffle. Seattle will close out the weekend on the road down in Portland with a matinee game against the Winterhawks. The home games, tickets available online at SeattleThunderbirds.com. And, of course, Matt, Steve is participating in the Hockey Challenge coming up on the 23rd, and he's excited because he's going to put his former assistant coach, Tyler Allos, on the other team and treat it like two pass. And I'm wondering if maybe we can, at the last second of that game, have a special guest come out after the game. Hopefully Seattle wins and you jump out there. And Allos is just freaked out by both of you guys against him again because you used to kind of abuse him in the two pass game in those post-practice events with the scratches.
Yeah, that's a lot of good memories there, a lot of good battles. Like, I might have to tune in for that one at the very least and watch that unfold because there's bound to be fireworks. But, two competitive guys going at it in two pass. It was usually Steve and Tyler that would get into the wrestling matches and whatnot and get pretty intense. I was the guy kind of minding my own business there, scoring all the goals.
I think both are going to have to be reminded. It is a charity event to raise money for Ronald McDonald House Charities of Western Washington and Alaska. Again, that's coming up the 23rd of February. It is the 21st season, the T-Birds, and they've raised over $6.2 million. So again, tickets available for that game as well online at SeattleThunderbirds.com. But the T-Birds approach this busy weekend, 3 games in 3 nights. One thing you haven't had a lot of this season, part of that, you know, they've sliced 4 games off the regular season schedule from 72 to 68. A lot of 3 games in 3 nights. There have been a few, but you approach a very important one here this weekend. It starts, as we said, against Red Deer, another team. This is the last team outside the conference you'll face, and you don't see them other than on videotape as you prepare for them, and they're coming out. They were already in Spokane and in Everett, so this will be their third game against the U.S. Division. They're a pretty good team. I think they surprised a lot of people the way they got off, and they're right in the mix of things in the Central. So we always talk about how important the points are for you and your playoff chase. They're important for them here too.
Yeah, for sure. No, they're a good team. They're a hardworking team. We've seen them on video a few times. And it's our schedule is tough. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's one team that's under 500. I don't even know if the other teams are under 600 in the win percentage. So, we have to, you know, we have Friday circled as 2 points that we need. And we'll start from there. Hopefully that momentum carries us on through the rest of the weekend. But we definitely have to find ways to scrape points together off those other teams.
What's the preparation like with the guys for a 3-on-3? You have a team you haven't seen before in Red Deer, but then two that you're familiar with. Is it this? You know, is Thursday and Wednesday and Thursday? Is that a lot of film study on just Red Deer, or all three teams, or how do you go about that?
Yeah, we won't introduce much as far as Red Deer until the game day. I mean, as coaches, we will implement stuff that we need to do in practice, really without the players knowing too much why we're doing some things, maybe, but. Honestly, with 3 games in 3 nights against 3 different teams, it's mainly focused on what we need to do and the things that make us successful. There's some specific things like special teams and face-off uniqueness that we'll see with all 3 teams and we'll have to pay attention to. But, we need to clean up parts of our game, and that's the focus, for today in practice and tomorrow in practice. And, we'll tackle each challenge as we get there.
And as you tweak ahead of this weekend, you look at, is it just the last game and say, okay, this is what we have to correct, or is it the last 2 or 3 games you're still correcting issues and looking at let's juggle up some lines to see if what wasn't working on that Tuesday game against Tri-City could work for us Friday against Red Deer?
Yeah, for sure. We see trends happening. For example, in Tuesday night's game, we weren't quite efficient with our face-offs. Face-off wins in the neutral zone led to some icings, led to some face-offs back in our end, things we got to clean up. And, you know, some wins in the D zone that needed to get out, don't get out. So as far as efficiency, we did get a lot of O-zone time and less D-zone time, but we felt we could have got even more if we executed on faceoffs a little bit better. So we'll try to fine-tune some of that stuff today. And it's a fine line. You're trying to work on stuff in practice and knowing that your schedule is pretty busy and manage that rest at the same time. It's you got to find that balance.
What do you define as a face-off win? If your center gets puck possession and tries to move it to his teammate, or if you get something off of that face-off win, because sometimes that happens and they just take it right off the stick of the guy, it's past it. What do you define as a clean face-off or a clear face-off win for your team?
Well, it's you know, it's a win. We define it as a win if we get possession off the draw, immediate possession. But an executed face-off is whether we execute the plan off it. So, for example, if we win a D-zone draw and our D gets possession of that puck, do we get it outside the zone? And that's an executed one draw. You know, an executed neutral zone win is one where we get it below their goal line and are able to get into our forecheck. And then the same goes for, you know, when we lose faceoffs. If we lose a faceoff in the O zone, do we execute what we need to do to snuff them and keep them in their D zone, or did we let them get out? So all those things kind of, you know, factor in wins and losses and execution of the plan, so to speak.
And that's a fascinating thing. I often think that the casual hockey fan doesn't realize how much of what happens immediately after the faceoff is set, or their set plays, whether you lose it or whether you win it, where it is on the ice, and how much of your practice time do you work on that system or those plays or whatever you want to call it, like for either whether you win it or lose it.
We work on it quite a bit. You know, when you look at it, there's 60-ish face-offs in a game, and execution of the face-offs equals a lot of possession time. So we want to be on the right side of that. And, you know, some teams don't pay as much attention to face-offs. Some teams pay more. You know, we value it a lot, and it'll be a focus of our practice today. But you know, just for the Tuesday game example, I don't know if you guys remember the two face-offs in our end that they ran some face-off plays on us and got two big chances against. You know, we pre-scouted that stuff, but we didn't execute the plan off those face-offs there, and then got big chances off them. So you know, special teams and face-offs are always an ever-evolving chess match where you got to stay on top of it and do some pre-scout to know what might be coming.
Well, it's a big weekend of hockey. We'll say that about every weekend coming up until the end of the regular season for Seattle. Despite the loss Tuesday, they still go into the weekend in that eighth and final playoff spot, still with a three-point edge on the Kamloops Blazers, but points, again, very important as Seattle goes into these three games looking to get points. First up, the Friday game, 7:35 here at the Accesso Shore Center against the Red Deer Rebels. Tickets available online at SeattleThunderbirds.com. Again, thanks to our guest, former T-Bird head coach Steve Konowalczyk. One reminder that coming up next week on the show, Glenn Goodall, who will captain the other team in the Hockey Challenge, will join us. But for Andy Ida and the head coach, Matt Audette, thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow as the T-Birds take on the Rebels right here on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This has been the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Audette. Join us again next Thursday night at 6 on your home for Thunderbirds hockey, 1090 KJR.